The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee met Tuesday, July 14th, to address several critical county initiatives and financial matters. A major highlight of the session was the discussion regarding the creation of an ad hoc committee tasked with assisting in the formation of an EMS district. Supervisor Frank introduced the proposal, noting that the committee will be appointed in July, with meetings slated to begin in August. It was emphasized that membership in the district remains voluntary for municipalities. Following a general discussion, the committee voted unanimously to adopt the resolution. In another significant action, the committee approved the 2026 Computer and Hazmat Equipment Grant. Josh Elder explained that this annual grant provides for new equipment with a local county match of $2,000. And the motion to adopt passed without opposition. The committee also engaged in a lengthy discussion regarding health insurance options for county employees. Administrator Trish Clemens detailed the county's exploration of moving from the state of Wisconsin's employee trust funds plan to private carriers. While the ETF provides numerous plan options, the county's ability to negotiate premiums or plan coverage is restricted under the current agreement. Conversely, an outside vendor might offer greater control over costs and specific coverage. A survey has been conducted among employees, and the results are being reviewed as the county approaches a September deadline to decide on its participation in the state plan. No formal action was taken during this meeting, but the results of the employee survey will be forwarded to the administrator for further review. Other matters addressed included the approval of several resolutions, such as the creation of a new economic support lead position to ensure state compliance and the canceling of stale tax certificates and county checks. The committee also voted to forward to the full county board a resolution authorizing the transfer of a Land and Water Conservation Fund grant and property to the Richland School District. Additionally, Supervisor Caro was designated as the official point of contact for the county board regarding the proposed future electric transmission line project. The meeting concluded with a closed session to confer with legal counsel regarding potential litigation before adjourning to July 27th. The City of Richland Center has scheduled its monthly large item and yard waste collection to begin Monday, July 20th. For the large item pickup, residents are advised to have all eligible materials at the curb by 6 a.m. Republic Services crews will conduct a citywide sweep, but because this is not a multi-pass service, they will not return to any area once the initial collection is complete. Each address is limited to 5 items, and every item must weigh less than 50 pounds and be manageable by a single person. Certain materials are strictly prohibited, including tires, hazardous waste, construction debris, yard waste, and appliances containing Freon. If residents have oversized items or more than the allowed limit, they must contact Republic Services directly to arrange for a private pickup at their own expense or transport the materials to the facility located in Boscobel. Simultaneously, the city's monthly yard waste collection will also commence on the morning of July 20th. Yard waste, which includes leaves, garden waste, branches, and brush, must be placed at the curb by 7 a.m. To ensure collection, brush and limbs must be no longer than 6 feet and no wider than 6 inches in diameter, stacked in manageable piles with the butts facing the curb. While the city will collect leaves and grass clippings, they must be placed in open containers or biodegradable bags, as items in plastic bags will be left behind. City crews will empty containers and return them to the curb for the residents. It is important to note that lumber, concrete, rocks, soil, sod, and other landscaping materials do not qualify as yard waste and will not be removed. To assist in keeping the community clean and safe, the city asks that residents ensure no vehicles are parked in a way that blocks access to items scheduled for pickup. In a joint meeting held in the City Council Chambers in Richland Center Wednesday evening, the Richland Center City Council and Utility Commission gathered to consider a significant proposal regarding the community's future energy stability. Mike Peters, representing WPPI Energy, delivered a presentation outlining a request for member utilities to extend their wholesale power agreement by an additional 18 years, pushing the commitment well beyond the current 2055 expiration date. The proposal received strong local support, with the Utility Commission providing a unanimous recommendation for the extension. Following this lead, the City Council also granted unanimous approval for the contract, with Alderpersons Rachel Schultz and Brad Wegner not in attendance. This decision ensures that Richland Center remains a part of the WPPI collaborative, maintaining local control and reliable service for the coming decades. The primary driver for this extension is the need for long-term planning and financial stability. As a low-cost leader among regional utilities, WPPI Energy requires a longer time frame to support the typical 30-year financing necessary for major generation resources and transmission investments. With future energy needs already becoming visible, the current 2055 deadline was deemed too short to manage the significant capital projects required to maintain competitive electric rates and a diverse power supply. This commitment allows WPPI to continue its track record of providing highly competitive rates through strategic investments, such as its ownership stake in the American Transmission Company. The approval process for other member communities is currently underway, with a target for all member approvals set for late 2026. The entire process is expected to reach its final deadline by February 2027, securing a stable energy future for all participating municipalities. The Richland Center Public Works Committee is scheduled to meet today at 5:30 p.m. in the Municipal Building Council Chambers to discuss key operational and community enhancements. A primary item on the agenda is the approval of a new airport fuel pricing resolution and an accompanying standard operating procedure for the Richland Center Municipal Airport. This policy aims to ensure the financial sustainability of the fuel farm by implementing a price model that adds a $1 markup to the replacement cost of fuel while providing clear guidelines for inventory management and regulatory compliance. Additionally, the committee will evaluate a naming proposal from the Richland County Right to Life LLC. This request involves the installation of a commemorative bench in the Baby Heaven section of the Richland Center Cemetery, intended to serve as a space for comfort and reflection. The organization has offered to fully fund the purchase and installation of the bench, and the committee will assess whether the proposal aligns with current city naming and branding policies. The quiet morning in the township of Ironton was shattered on Wednesday when a devastating collision claimed the life of a young community member. At 8:51 a.m., emergency responders were called to Highway 58 near Raybuck Road following reports of a severe traffic crash involving a motor vehicle and an Amish buggy. According to the preliminary investigation by the Sauk County Sheriff's Office, a 2023 Ford F-350, driven by an 81-year-old man from Viola, was traveling northbound when it struck the horse-drawn buggy from behind. The buggy was being operated by a 13-year-old girl from Laval. Despite the fact that the buggy was clearly marked with lights and a slow-moving vehicle placard, and the young operator was wearing a high-visibility reflective vest, the impact caused catastrophic damage to the vehicle. Tragically, the teenage girl was pronounced deceased at the scene by arriving medical personnel. In a small mercy amidst the tragedy, the horse pulling the buggy appeared to be uninjured. The driver of the truck remained at the site of the crash and is reportedly cooperating fully with law enforcement as detectives work to understand the circumstances surrounding the incident. The highway remained closed for several hours as the Sauk County Sheriff's Office, assisted by Cazenovia Fire, Cazenovia EMS, and the Sauk County Highway Department, conducted a thorough investigation of the scene. While the names of those involved are currently being withheld, the investigation remains ongoing. Eugene Spears, a 42-year-old resident of La Crosse, has been sentenced to 6 years in federal prison, followed by 5 years of supervised release. This sentencing follows his guilty plea to the charge of possessing 50 grams or more of methamphetamine with the intent to distribute. The conviction stems from an incident on February 28, 2025, when law enforcement stopped Spears in Ferryville, Wisconsin, and discovered over 250 grams of methamphetamine intended for sale. At the time of his arrest, Spears was out on bond for a separate state drug case. In handing down the sentence, Chief U.S. District Judge James D. Peterson noted that while Spears' addiction influenced his actions, a significant sentence was necessary due to his lengthy criminal history and the escalation of drug quantities involved. The case was investigated by a collaborative effort from the Prairie du Chien Police Department, Crawford County Sheriff's Office, City of La Crosse Police Department, and the Wisconsin State Patrol. This prosecution is part of Operation Take Back America, a nationwide Department of Justice initiative targeting illegal immigration, cartels, and transnational criminal organizations. The American Red Cross has declared an emergency blood shortage following a nearly 25% decline in the blood supply throughout June. This critical situation is exacerbated by a growing gap between current supply and patient needs, as Red Cross distributions to hospitals are currently running nearly 3,500 units higher per week than expected. This shortfall comes during the height of trauma season, when hospitals typically experience increased demand for blood products. The shortage is particularly severe for platelets, as well as O positive and B negative blood types. A Red Cross blood drive will be held today from 8 o'clock till noon at Greenway Manor. On Friday from 8 o'clock until noon at Greenway Manor in Spring Green. Book a time to give blood or platelets now by using the Red Cross Blood app or visiting redcrossblood.org. Walk-ins will be welcome. Yesterday in Richland Center, an American Red Cross blood drive was held. 91 units of blood were donated with 7 deferrals. Reminder to area residents, Ross Road in Rockbridge from County DD to Old County Farm Drive will be closed each day, July 20th through the 23rd from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. Again, Ross Road in the Rockbridge area from County DD to Old County Farm Drive will be closed each day, July 20th through the 23rd from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has joined a coalition of 48 states and territories to announce a $29.6 million settlement with generic drug manufacturer Glenmark. This settlement resolves allegations that the company engaged in a widespread, long-running conspiracy to artificially inflate and manipulate prices, reduce competition, and unreasonably restrain trade for numerous generic prescription drugs. As part of the agreement, Glenmark will cooperate in ongoing multi-state litigations targeting 33 corporate defendants and 25 individual executives. The company has also committed to internal reforms intended to ensure fair competition and compliance with antitrust laws. This resolution follows a series of previous settlements with companies including Lannett, Bausch, Apotex, and Heritage, which have totaled $66.95 million. Attorney General Josh Call emphasized the importance of holding companies accountable for anti-competitive conduct that negatively impacts Wisconsin consumers. Consumers who purchase generic prescription drugs from Glenmark, Lannett, Bausch, Apotex, or Heritage between May 2009 and December 2019 may be eligible for compensation. This settlement occurs as states prepare for the first trial, which will take place in Hartford, Connecticut, focusing on 80 topical generic drugs. Wisconsin has been involved in multiple antitrust cases related to prescription drug prices since 2016, targeting an interconnected web of pharmaceutical industry executives and their alleged collusive practices.
Rivermen and Lore by August Derleth. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to page 278 in the book titled The Wisconsin River of 1,000 Isles, two legends of Wisconsin River lore about Lone Rock in that region are dubious, both legends and both history. It's being just a little bit more than legend and not quite as much history. The first story is about a treasure boat. The Wisconsin River is said to have ghost ships. That's what they called them. But nobody knows about them because they're ghost ships, unless it might be the sunken treasure of a boat. The story is as follows. A boat was moving upstream from Fort Crawford with a payload for soldiers at Fort Winnebago. It had put in along a rocky bluff across from the tail finger of a rock, which raftsmen later will call and use as a landmark. It's known as Lone Rock. In order to escape a storm, they had put in there. But a moment later, their readings, as far as this side of the Wisconsin is told, a slide of rocks took place and buried the riverboat. Quote, no trace has been found until recently, end quote. That's averred to as one settler in a few summers would go on when the construction of the river crossing south of Lone Rock was taking place. That's not too long ago. When engineers were making soundings for a new bridge site, struck were timbers well into the sand in the middle of the river. It could be that sunken treasure boat. There's your question. From a Historical Society Archives newspaper, recorded number BA8130, in an article from the Baraboo Daily News dated Thursday, February 6, 1913, the article reads as follows. A raftsman tells the story of a rock at Lone Rock. Lone Rock, Wisconsin is a very pretty, romantic spot, according to J.G. DeLest. In the steel of the Wisconsin River at that place, a large rock which rises up above the river. Wisconsin River, tall and majestic as it would be, doubtless given name to this place, Lone Rock. It's a natural tunnel-like opening through the rock that allows boats to pass on their way. The water gleams in silver slight, shadowed by tunnels, and it's really beautiful. At one time, a large portion of the rock fell away from the main portion into the river, fell into and upon a vessel that was causing a wreck. At any rate, the decaying hull of the vessel could easily be seen in the river bottom, and also lying down there, as J.S. Steele would tell, many times a raftsman would be about his work and spot that. In the story of the sunken treasure boat, you learn of the legend. That bogus bluff, along with Stephen Fogo's articles from the Richland Center Republican Observer, managed to tell the story of bogus bluff to a, well, shall we say, urban legend effect. The first account is of a cave of abandoned bones and prehistoric animals and skeletons. The legend's buried there. It was a time when the French and British involvement, and yet a third story, a counterfeiter named Ellis, could have been at Bogus Bluff before his capture nearby in Boscobel. Each of these three stories have been documented by Paul Seifert in legend, but from those stories surrounding the lore of Bogus Bluff, the actual news releases in 1900s of the counterfeiters and the stories that would tell. So too, Bogus Bluff, like Lone Rock, are both urban legend and folklore stories. That's what it's all about. Listen next week to the history of Richland County about Robert Aiken, who tells the trails that go through Richland County.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. Members of the Historical Society enjoy reminiscing with the Achy Breaky newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history, the sponsorship of programs devoted to local history, and the maintenance and access to the Achy School Museum. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. Memberships can be mailed to Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. You can also learn more at Richland County Historical Society.weebly.com.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced that the sharp-tailed grouse hunting season will remain closed for 2026, meaning permits and applications will not be accepted this year. This recommendation from the Sharp-tailed Grouse Advisory Committee follows 2026 data showing a 22% decline in leak survey indices. While the previous 4 years showed steady population growth, experts note that this recent dip is within the range of natural variability for the species, and sharp-tailed grouse continue to retain their legal status as a game species in Wisconsin. DNR managers and conservation partners remain committed to long-term recovery through habitat restoration in core areas of northwest Wisconsin, specifically focusing on the Pine Barrens critical for the population's persistence. For more detailed information on these efforts and management strategies, the Sharp-tailed Grouse Management Plan and the DNR's Sharp-tailed Grouse Hunting and Management webpage are available for review. Alliance for Automotive Innovation has released its exclusive state-by-state analysis of the U.S. electric vehicle market for the first quarter of 2026. Among the details, the United States electric vehicle market experienced a notable contraction in the first quarter of the year, with the national market share falling to 6.3%. This represents a substantial decline from the 9.6% share recorded in the first quarter of 2025. The shift is further underscored by a 39% drop in total EV sales volume year over year, totaling approximately 227,747 units. As EV momentum slowed, hybrid vehicles emerged as a primary beneficiary, capturing the largest gains in market share as consumers adjusted to the expiration of federal purchase incentives. In Wisconsin, the EV landscape reflects these broader national trends while maintaining unique regional metrics. During the first quarter of 2026, 1,652 electric vehicles were sold across the state, resulting in a 3.15% market share. This performance places Wisconsin 34th nationally in EV market adoption. Regarding infrastructure, the state currently hosts 2,187 publicly available charging outlets. With approximately 60,000 EVs on the road, Wisconsin maintains a ratio of 27 vehicles for every public port, ranking 28th in the country for charging availability relative to EV population.